I choose to begin this podcast by welcoming in a special way all the people who are away on the August long weekend.
So the sign outside Swift Current says, you know, Swift Current, where life makes sense. And so we'd observed this on the drive out and, you know, talked about it. What are some of the other ones? Well, Gas City, of course. One Great City. Anyway, like, you know that there was just thousands of dollars spent to arrive at that point, which is... So anyway, on the drive back, as we pull into Swift Current, I hear Davis, our oldest son, who's in the back seat of the van, talking to Cale, the next son, who's in the seat in front of him. And he's kind of quietly says to Cale, he says, "Can you feel it?" And I'm like, I'm just listening. I'm driving, so I'm just kind of listening. What's going on, you know? Cale's like, "What?" You know? "Feel what?" Can you feel life starting to make sense? Anyway, there's this sort of undercurrent of absurdity about that slogan and that sign for me. And I've been thinking about it quite a bit. I mean, what is that undercurrent? Maybe it's the hubris of giving a physical location to the idea of life making sense. This is the place where life makes... Maybe it's that. I don't know. Maybe it's the collision for me between the idea of a physical location for life making sense and that location being, in particular, Swift Current. I don't want to be unkind, but it's kind of like the back of the moon, you know? Anyway. Another part of the trip, part of our vacation we spent in Fernie, which is a town that we just really enjoy and love the riding out there. And so we were in the shop one day, and the person that was the cashier had this lovely accent. And so one of the things I just love to do is just say, you know, "How did you get here and where are you from?" And just to hear a little bit of somebody's story. So I asked her, and she was from Edinburgh, Scotland, and just had that lovely, you know, the lovely tones that go with that. And I said, "Well, how long have you been here?" She'd been there 3 years. And she said, you know, she said, "Fernie is like Scotland on steroids. Like, everything is, it's brighter, it's warmer, it's colder, there's more snow, the mountains are bigger." And then she kind of summed it up and she said, "You know," she said, "when I got here, it was everything I've ever dreamed of." Huh. Well, to me, as a person that loves the mountains, her saying that Fernie was everything she's ever dreamed of was way more believable than the sign on the number one that said, "Insert current, life makes sense." So maybe that's my issue, you know, but that's sort of how it felt. When I kind of pull that together, for me, all of it points to something, you know. I'm the sort of person who looks for, what does this signify? What's this tilt toward? What does this speak of? And for me, all of those things kind of speak toward this huge drive in us that believes that there should be a way to frame the story of life that actually helps it to make sense. That there must be a way to kind of pull the pieces together and have the experience that the woman from Edinburgh is talking about, where we kind of go, "Oh, this is what I was looking for. This is what is going on inside of me." Clunk. There we go. Religion has historically been one of the ways that the human species has tried to do that, has tried to find a framework that will help the experiences of life to cohere and help the whole thing to make sense. Tried to help us to live with the twists and the turns of all the sorts of things that just are part of life. And I think, I mean, we could go lots of places with that, but I think all I want to say about it this evening is that from the inside of religion, that can work incredibly well. As long as nothing happens that creates an intolerable amount of dissonance between the framework we espouse, what we say we believe, and what we're experiencing. And when we have experiences where the whole thing gets dissonant and the framework doesn't fit the experience, then we have, at some level, we have a crisis. And there are things that we turn to in that crisis if we're religious people, if we're religious people of the Christian stripe, that are reassuring to us when we turn to certain cherished portions of our sacred text where God says things to us, Jesus in John 10:10 saying, "I've come that they might have life and that they might have it to the full." That's a reassuring thought. Psalm 37, verse 4, the poet says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, if we have this huge desire in us for life to make sense, and we are delighting in God, whatever that means, then maybe that the desire is connected to that delight. So we kind of muse on that and see how that fits in the frame. That's the experience from the inside, though, of religion. And it's relatively kind of internally consistent most of the time. But from the outside of religion, it's a different matter entirely. And sometimes, in our quest to engage more deeply with God, rather than just coming to religion to reassure ourselves that what we believe is right or true or satisfactory or whatever, sometimes in that process, it's very important to try to see the questions or the possibilities from a completely different point of view, to try to find a way to get ourselves outside the religious experience, if that's the context in which we've grown up or in which our faith has been nurtured. Sometimes we need to shake things up in order to get underneath the surface and get past what I've been calling religion. And if you've been part of this community for any length of time, you know that I have a deep core belief that religion, the word we use when we use the word religion, actually has an historic root that I really love. It comes from a very, very old word that has, from medicine, the closest we could get would be to recognize the word ligament in it. It is religamenting, religion, reconnecting things that have been separated in the way that they're meant to be connected. That's religion at its best. It's not the way I've been using the word this evening, but that's the good possibility. But sometimes in order to get past the not as lovely version of religion, or the limiting version of religion, and get to the more earthy, more life-nurturing thing that maybe we would choose to call faith. We might choose other words for it, but we could choose that one. To get to that, sometimes what we need to do is we need to try to find a different perspective on the questions than the one that we normally carry. Because our life of faith gets all tangled up with all the other parts of life, right? At least it should. If we just keep it in this little box called religion, well, that's an extremely limiting version of what could be when it comes to walking through life, interacting with and engaged with a divine being. Religion can be nothing like that, right? It can be devoid of the presence of the divine and still be religion, technically speaking. So to try to get something deeper, something more substantial than that, we have to try to find a way to pull the questions out of the intermingledness of life and belief and look at them for themselves for a bit, wrestle with them. We don't do it as an objective, end unto itself kind of exercise. We do it so that in the wrestling, a couple things happen. So that in the wrestling we are formed, because that's how it works. It's in the bashing around in this stuff that we actually become who we are. So it's actually in the process that the thing that we're hungry for is happening. Not in the solution, not in the resolution of the question, but in actually grappling with it that we're made to be the beings that we are being made to be. So that happens. And the other thing that happens is we gain a different perspective on the question itself. And that can make us people that are much more open to, much more adept potentially at, certainly much more willing to be engaged in dialogue with other points of view, which is also something that we really need in order to be formed as people. So what I want to do for the balance of August, to help us kind of get out of our own heads and our own space a little bit around some of the big questions, is I brought along a film called The Sunset Limited. The movie is based on a stage play. The screenplay is written by the same guy who wrote the stage play, in this case. And it's a two-person film. It all takes place in one room. It's a dialogue film. Our imagination takes us outside the room often over the course of the film, but the actual events happen in this one space. And it's the characters in this actual stage play and in the screenplay don't actually have names. They're just called black and white. And it'll make more sense if you haven't seen the film when you actually see it. But that's as much as we are kind of introduced to them as individuals by name. And they are having a dialogue in the course of this film about some of the biggest things that we wrestle with when it comes to life and faith. And what I want us to do this evening, because this is just to open something up, is I just want us to meet the characters. I want us to start to get a feel for the form that we're in artistically, for the kind of film this is. And then I want us to have a little bit of conversation about it, and then take the things that we've talked about in that conversation into our daily lives so we can consider the things that we've talked about in our context, not this context. This is a context for introducing that dialogue, not for closing it out. So again, an attempt to move from the inside of a conversation to some other vantage point in that conversation. I want us to watch, we're going to watch about 15 minutes of the film, the first 15 minutes of the film tonight. And I want us to watch it with a little different attitude maybe than we might typically consume this particular art form. I want us to watch it really with a deliberate, meditative mind. And that can take some doing. There's all sorts of things going on in our heads all the time that we kind of are distracted by. And most of us have been trained to watch movies to amuse us. Our culture has done a fine job of teaching us how to watch films without thinking, which is what the word amuse means, without musing. So that's most of us know how to do that. We can flick that switch and go there easy. I want us to go somewhere different with this. And to help us do that, we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to sing a little bit together. We're going to remind ourselves by making something together, in this case, music, of a particular perspective on God and faith that's recognizably Christian. We're going to take a few moments to be silent before we watch the film. And to me, that's like driving on ice. Silence is where we slow down so we can change directions. You try to change directions when you're going full speed one way. It's just, you just don't. You just... You can't. And we need to. And the other is so that we can come into this with maybe a little more conscious awareness that if we're going to seriously deal with or wrestle with what it means to have a life where we integrate faith and all the other things that comprise life, where faith doesn't become this strange, isolated element of life, but rather an integrated piece of the fabric of all of life. If we're going to actually do that, there are some things that we need to learn to wisely deal with. We need to learn to wisely understand the way that God has revealed God's self, and God does that in lots of ways. Sacred text, the created world, so on and so forth. We need to learn to wisely engage and understand that. We need to also learn to see God in our wise understanding of the self, of the human person. We are a unique part of the revelation of God. And so we need to learn how to get a bit of insight from our own humanness and the humanness of the people around us with whom we share this planet and this journey. And the other thing is that we need to learn how to wisely engage with culture, which is rich with the revelation of God in ways expected and unexpected. So I want us to kind of just set ourselves in that course a little bit on purpose before we actually watch these minutes of the film. Then we'll have a bit of a conversation about that. So Tim, first of all, why don't you and Jane come lead us in a couple songs, and then we'll go on from there.